What's going on? Good time of day, whatever time of day it is for you, to all of my beautiful people from around the world. And so we're going to go over a number of things today. Hopefully we can get some interactions from you guys in the comments, right? And maybe some more impressions would be great from YouTube, right? But I'm on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and Twitter as well. So a lot going on. We're also going to take a look at two of Biden's most recent appearances in a speech, and then also on Howard Stern. Because I did have a request from one of my viewers that wants to take a look at how he performs when he's speaking, which I keep on telling everybody, he does just fine. Like he's slower in his speech than years past, but he's 81 or 82 years old, so you know he's got he's an old man. But the decline that we see in Joe Biden is because of his old age, as well as Donald Trump. But there's differences in the blunders that Trump makes, which for some reason just goes overseen by all of his supporters. They simply do not and will not acknowledge these declines. But I consider them to be far worse. The mistakes that he makes is like, wow. But there's no denying that there is obviously decline in Joe Biden as well, with the way that he speaks, the slower pattern that he has and slower cadence that he has. But what the difference is that his mind though still works 100%, whereas Trump is just a bumbling idiot who just continues to put his foot in his mouth, constantly makes mistakes. Verbally, audibly, you hear and see it. Also makes mistakes like saying dumb things like Milwaukee is a horrible city, where his national Republican convention will be held in Milwaukee. You just can't make this stuff up. I mean, like if that happened to Joe Biden, you would not hear the end of it. They'd just be going on and on about how stupid he is, basically. And how, how could we have a president that has this type of mind to say something like that? Like all that stuff, you know, but we'll take a look at some of the examples. And then we'll also talk about some things as well. We'll look at a couple of videos. And we're going to start with one of his blunders, which I'm sure, you know, listen. I know that you Trump supporters out there, you want and hope to believe that this guy is altogether there. He is not. And he shows it to us every single day. So, you know, the Biden campaign, rightfully so, is very excited about every time he goes out there and exposes himself. Because then he just gives the gift that just keeps on giving. And it's his own doing. Nobody else is doing this to him except for him. Now listen to this. Watch. You guys think that he's all together there? Watch.
but absolutely no plan. He doesn't even know what the word inflation means. I don't think if you gave him a quiz. I think he should take a cognitive test. I took a cognitive test and I aced it. Dr. Ronnie Johnson. Does everyone know Ronnie Johnson, congressman from Texas? He was the White House doctor.
You know, no, actually, they don't know him. They don't know Ronnie Johnson.
Who's Ronnie Johnson?
There's nothing like mocking your opponent's mental acuity and messing up the name of the doctor who actually administered your own cognitive test, who's sitting in the audience.
Person, man, woman, horse. Yeah. Ronnie Johnson.
The name of Trump's former White House physician turned U.S. congressman is Ronnie Jackson.
Wait, what?
Not Johnson.
What?
Good morning.
Yeah, I mean, how about that, right? Ronnie Johnson, where is he? Where's Ronnie Johnson? There he is. I mean, I know you guys have a million excuses. Go ahead, put them in the live comments. You got a lot of them. You got them all. He just misremembered. That's not a cognitive decline. But it's so funny to me that he's literally trying. He's trying to make fun of Joe Biden, and then showing off at the same time that he passed, which is why that's why I was laughing, was because of Joe Scarborough's basically repeating the test.
Right? There's nothing like mocking your opponent's.
So like he's like, watch when he says, you know, because, you know, Trump is always like, you know, they send you these pictures, they give you pictures, and you got to tell which one is the elephant, which one is the tree, which one is the gorilla. And I aced it. And so listen to Joe.
And he was
mental acuity and messing up the name of the doctor who actually administered your own cognitive test, who's sitting in the audience.
Person, man, woman, horse. Ronnie Johnson.
See, like that. I mean, but it's so funny that he keeps on talking about this. And while he does it, this is not the first time he does it, but he continues to just, you know, and by the way, this is going to be another one of his reasons why he doesn't debate. Like, mark my words, we're getting closer now to the debate, and the actual demands. He's been like hinting towards it that he wants a drug test and he wants a cognitive test. Now that's the newest one. He's warming people up to the demands. Then he's gonna make the demand. I don't want to debate him unless there's a drug test. Unless there's a cognitive test, I don't want to debate him. This is what he's going to do. Biden is going to decline those things, and then he's not going to debate him. I mean, I'm telling you, I know what he's doing. I watch him every single day.
The name of Trump's former White House physician turned U.S. congressman is Ronnie Jackson.
Wait, what?
Not Johnson.
Mm-hmm. What?
What a blunder that is.
Good morning. And welcome to Morning Joe. That's kind of confusing. It's Monday, June 17th. So what else is new, right? With us, we have NBC News National Affairs Analyst and a partner and chief political columnist at PUC, John Heilman.
John Heinz, personal
Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and associate editor of The Washington Post, and MSNBC political analyst Eugene Robinson, chief White House correspondent for The New York Times, Peter Paker, and the co-host of MSNBC's The Weekend, also doing Way Too Early, also co-host Morning Mika, Simone Sanders. Townsend, thanks for all of you being in early on Monday morning.
John Heilman, I'm thinking, right. I'm not good at this politics thing, but I'm guessing that if you're going to make fun of your opponent for being cognitively disconnected from facts and figures, it's probably good for you to not be disconnected cognitively from facts and figures, as Donald Trump was this morning.
Oh, man, I just love this guy so much. Let me see what you guys are saying in the comments. Hope all the dads had a great day yesterday. Me too, Senor Rojo. I certainly did. We had a nice get-together, a little party here at the house. Great food. Mrs. Worldwide went all out. It was wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful day. I hope you did too as well, especially this year for you, Senor Rojo, after what happened last year. And Mrs. Worldwide, there she is now, bringing me my water that I forgot to get ready. I had to go and ask her as the countdown came on. Can you please get me some water? Thank you so much. But we know what happened, Senator Rojo, to your daughter this past year, and hopefully that is all back to 100%. Send her my love. Oh, that's good stuff. Nothing like water. Nothing like water. What do you guys think? Chronic Maths Debater says Trump promising to cut aid to Ukraine, yet according to MAGA dorks, Trump isn't a Putin shill. So if you guys think back, the whole anti-Ukraine started with Tucker Carlson. What did he do? He went out there and he spoke to Vladimir Putin. Remember that? And if you remember, there wasn't this extreme anti-Ukraine sentiment until that happened. And now you have all these MAGA idiots running around completely against aid for Ukraine. They're calling it our war now. They're saying we're at war with Russia. It's complete nonsense. We are going to aid them, and if we don't, Putin is going to take over Europe. That's just the bottom line. That's the reason why we're doing it. And what does that do if Putin takes over Europe? What does that do to the United States? Does it help us, or does it make us weaker? Does it really, really hurt us badly? Which one of the two is it going to be? And so which one should we be avoiding? Should we do what Trump wants and Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Moscow Marjorie herself? Should we be doing that? Like, should we be doing what they want, which is no aid, don't help them out. Let's just continue to let Putin run amok in Europe. We should not be interfering at all. Which one of the two should we be doing? I mean, it's a pretty simple answer, right? But, you know, these idiots, they have this new found energy to be against Ukraine, and then they're openly pro-Putin, which is, you know, shameful, obviously, in my opinion. It is just what it is. He is just plain old stupid, says Daryl Everett. By the way, thank you for the Father's Day wish as I was getting off the air on Saturday. Daryl, I saw it just as I was signing off. You had said that, so thank you. I hope you had a great Father's Day as well. Out of all my friends and colleagues who are politically aware, no one is voting Trump. Well, I wish I can say that, but I know that there's a lot of people that are going to vote for this guy despite the complete and utter train wreck that he is, and also the complete and utter threat that he is to the nation, to the world, for that matter. He doesn't even want to be in NATO anymore. So I don't even know how to explain that to you, how dangerous that is. But, okay, you know, there's people for that. But again, there's people in our own country, understand this, that are 100% pro-Putin. Now, here's the ironic part about that, though. If you took them, though, and said, you know what? I understand that you are pro-Putin. I totally get it. Here's what we've done. We've gone ahead and we've bought you a plane ticket, and we have a property in Russia for you. You're going to be shipped out there. You're living there now. What do you think happens then? What happens at that moment? Are they like, oh my God, yes, thank you so much. I've been waiting for this. I can't believe this. Are they going to be excited to move to Russia? You see, that's where the metal hits the road, right? That's where the metal hits the road. I know that doesn't make any sense. It's the rubber hits the road, but I'm just saying. That's where the metal hits the track. It's where the rubber meets the road. If you did that, I guarantee you all of a sudden, and I'm not talking about like having a conversation. I'm saying you go right up to them and you say, we have booked a solid ticket for you. One-way trip. You have a property. You can make you're set up. All you got to do is get on that plane and go. You get to live in Russia now. What happens then? What happens then? And for all of you idiots in my comments, for when this becomes a short, tell me how you would feel living in Russia if you were forced to go out there right now. Tell me. I want to know. Is it a good idea now? Are you still pro-Putin? It's funny, isn't it? It is funny, isn't it? I bet you anything, if that was the case, all of a sudden, people's minds would be changed. All of a sudden, right? But there they are, pro-Putining it up. You go to Twitter, man. I put up a poll on Twitter some time ago. I had Putin up against Biden. Putin won like 70% of the vote. 70% of the vote. Against Biden. Like, that's just absolutely shameful. Now, I know that this is a worldwide poll because what Twitter's worldwide, but it mostly was Americans that were seeing it. I don't have a big, gigantic account. I'm not getting millions of views on my posts. No, nothing like that. But yeah, when I put it out, though, and I said that it was going to happen, I was like, watch all of these idiots vote for Putin. It's going to be overwhelmingly for Putin, and it was. It's shameful. What's going on in this country is absolutely ridiculous. And a lot of it has to do with the Trump campaign continuing to lie about literally everything. One of them, which I have decided to lean into a lot more, aside from the fact that he literally just can't stop lying. He's a fire hose of lies. He talks about everything, how horrible the country is, despite how well and unbelievably well the country's doing. One of the things that he lies about is his support. He continues to throw out these numbers and his campaign and his people, all the people that are rooting for him, all the Twitter idiots, the Twittiots, that continue to put out numbers that are fake. Kellyanne Conway going on Fox News talking about how he spoke to 8,000 people in Detroit, and he did not. There was no 8,000 people that he spoke to in Detroit. I don't even think that there was even 800 people that he spoke to. I don't even think that it was 500 people. If there was 800 people there, that's what it was, 100 people. And they were all black, right? All the black support that he has coming out of Detroit and around the country. And then you turn around and the entire group was white. The entire group. You can't, if you tried your hardest right now in Detroit, you cannot walk outside and find a white person. If you try, it might take you a couple of hours. Someone who's non-black, let's just say that, right? Go out and find that person now. Go and find an Asian person, a Hispanic person, you know, because it's 80% black in Detroit, right? So that means that it's 20% everybody else, including white people. But for some reason, in this quote-unquote black church that he's in Detroit, is literally filled with white people. And it's about 100 of them. That's it. Then there's this one black girl that keeps on getting features everywhere from this church as a black supporter in Detroit for Trump to when he visited that chicken place, the Chick-fil-A. Remember that Chick-fil-A fake news? Remember when he did that? This is what he did. That same girl was there. She's an operative. She's a Trump supporter operative, follows him everywhere and pretends to be one of the local black people that is in support. She's been seen everywhere. Midas Touch Network has exposed her over and over and over again. This is what he does. It is a complete farce. It's a lie. All of this support that he has, he did not have 25,000 people in the Bronx. He did not have 100,000 people in New Jersey. He did not have 8,000 people in Detroit. It's all lies. It's just complete nonsense. But he wants you. Why does he want you to think that, Daryl Everett? What's the one reason that I'm thinking? Because whatever reason you come up with is probably going to be right. Chronic Math Debater and Senior Rojo. What is the reason that he keeps on talking about how amazingly popular he is? What is he setting you up for? What is he setting the country up for? When he does this, what is he doing? Please answer me in the live comments while I go through your comments again. What is Donald Trump doing? Excuse me. What is Donald Trump doing by making everybody believe that he is so internationally and nationally adored? What is he setting the country up for? Let's see if you guys can get it. Thanks for the well wishes. You're welcome. She's doing great. Just did another performance downtown Chicago. Very good. Nice. That's what I'm talking about. But you, you're over in South or North Carolina or Georgia. You're in Georgia, right? Let's see if you guys can get it, though. Chronic Math Debater says, what's a few $100 billion compared to the lives of our citizens? It's literally a copy of the 1930s again. We can either appease the enemy or stand against them. We can't repeat the mistakes Britain and France did when they appeased Hitler with Anschluss and the invasion of Czechoslovakia. Yeah. That was one of the one of the moments in history that we certainly don't want to repeat, because that's exactly what happened. They thought to themselves, "Well, he's not going to do that. We'll just, you know, eventually he'll stop. When he loses, he will state the election was rigged." That's right. That's what he's setting up. Like, see how smart my audience is? That's exactly what he's doing right now. He wants to set it up so that when he loses, he can be like, well, do you remember I had 25,000 people in the Bronx? You guys don't remember this? How is it possible that I could have lost with all of this support? Biden couldn't do that again. Like, I mean, like, this is what he said. Could Biden get 8,000 people in Detroit? No, not a day. But yet I lost again. That's what he's setting up for. It's exactly what he's doing. And I'm here every single day to point it out to you. Every single day. I've got some multiple people on Facebook watching. Thank you so much. But listen, that's what he's doing. He's not, he is in no way as popular as he's making it look like. When you have 20,000 people, this is what I would do if I was him. If I had 20,000 people in New Jersey, you know what I would say? I would say, I had 20,000 people come out and see me in New Jersey. How amazing was that? No, he can't do that, though.
We had 140,000 as far as the eye can see. You couldn't see. You could even see. The cameras won't turn around, though, because look at the fake news. They won't do that. They're not going to show the crowds. Meanwhile, everyone could see the crowds. We could all see the crowd.
Has any of you guys seen the picture of the Rod Stewart concert? Who's an actual person that deserves that kind of attention? An international superstar. The picture is of only 80,000, and you wouldn't believe the difference in the size. And the reason why is because one is of 20,000 people or less, and the other one is of 80,000 people, which is like this massive crowd. And what? But you know. To go listen to somebody, this is what he's trying to get. This is what he's trying to stuff down our throats. To go watch Rod Stewart, an international superstar that has created music for generations and for decades, reached number one status in the billboards, millions and millions and millions of fans, and a record catalog from here till Kingdom Come. You can have that. That person go, and they would attract that kind of a crowd, or that kind of a crowd also would come listen to a guy talk about how horrible our country is. Now, is that happening? Anybody really believe that that's happening? Because that's all he does. He just talks about how horrendous the country is. That's all he does is talk about. We're going to watch a video that's going to contradict a lot of what he says, especially what's going on in Detroit, which is where he just was. Do you know that Detroit since 2021 has gained 24,000 manufacturing jobs in the auto industry? Did you know that? That didn't happen with Trump. There was no jobs in Detroit created under Donald Trump, but he'll take credit for it, except it happened in 2021, 22, and 23 when he was not president. It also happened because of the Inflation Act that Joe Biden got passed in his first 2 years, because we had an actual functioning House of Representatives. Our House of Representatives right now is not doing anything. I don't know if you've noticed, but they won't pass anything. They won't. They won't. I mean, they were forced basically because of the war becoming so desperate in Ukraine. They were forced to come out with that bill to aid Ukraine. Other than that, though, they haven't done anything. They keep on investigating Joe Biden to find his crime that they can impeach him for. And we're going to watch another video of a House representative literally putting them to the task and saying, why don't we vote for the impeachment now? Let's just do it. We've got today to do it. Like, who wants to do it? Let's do it now. I want to get it done right now. Like, literally just like testing them. And they won't do it because they don't have anything. And they keep on. Now we're the middle of June. It's a year and a half of investigating Joe Biden. They still cannot find one thing that this guy has done wrong in order to be able to impeach him. And they're still looking. They're still looking. So, I mean, it is what it is. Let's get back to some Morning Joe. Who's absolutely fantastic. I love this guy. He is so great. I just love him.
This weekend.
And Mika as well. But Joe.
Jim, it's good to see you this morning here on Monday. or is it Chuck? Chuck yeah. Scarborough? Wait, Jim Scarborough? No. Joe. Exactly. Joe Scarborough. Glass houses, man. You don't want to be throwing stones at. People who live in glass houses shouldn't be throwing stones. That's all I'll say about that.
Well, you know, and the thing is, too, it's getting really more obvious, Mika, that they have the Trump campaign understands they have a serious problem with Donald Trump on facts, on issues, on you name it, because they have to keep engaging in cheap fakes to try to make Joe Biden look bad. And you know, this weekend, they've done it over the past several weeks. Mm-hmm. They've got the New York Post doing it. The RNC's doing it. All of these right-wing stooges on X are doing it. And if you have to make stuff up, you got to make stuff up. Obviously, you don't feel like you have a strong enough campaign to
Bingo.
Win outright.
No, I mean, they're grasping in many different ways, but I think that's just Trump being Trump, getting names wrong and getting information wrong, and I don't think he cares. Our top story.
Well, you know, I fear having a president like that. I really do, with storm clouds of World War II on the horizon.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Our top story this hour, the Biden campaign took in a record haul at a star-studded fundraiser over the weekend. The campaign says it raised more than $30 million in Los Angeles on Saturday, breaking the record for the Democratic Party's largest fundraising event ever. NBC News could not independently verify that claim. President Biden appeared at the event alongside former President Barack Obama, George Clooney, Julia Roberts, Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel actually moderated a conversation at one point asking President Biden about the Supreme Court and the possibility that the next president will likely have an opportunity to appoint two justices and what voters can do about that.
So, we're going to listen to this very little bit that is on Morning Joe here. I tried to find, there's no tape of this. I don't know how they have it, but there's obviously tape of it somewhere. But this is the latest of Joe Biden speaking. And I wanted to present this for Kansas Mama and others that are interested in listening to Biden speak so that they can understand the lies that are being thrown out there. When he speaks, he's not like this bumbling idiot that's just like, what was the question? Like, that's not what's going on. But I don't have this, but this is a small bit of it that we can say.
Elect me. Again, I'll tell you why. No, I'm not just saying. The next president is likely to have two new Supreme Court nominees. Two more. he's already appointed two that have been very negative in terms of the rights of individuals. The idea that if he's reelected, he's going to appoint two more flying flags upside down is really, I really mean it.
Could this be the scariest part of all of it?
Well, I think it is one of the scariest parts of it. Look, the Supreme Court has never been as out of kilter as it is today. I mean, never. I taught constitutional law for 9 years. This guy knows more about it than most. Look, the fact of the matter is that this has never been a court that's been this far out of step. And by the way, when we said after the decision that overruled Roe v. Wade, the Dobbs decision, you had Clarence Thomas talking about the fact that there are going to be other things we should reconsider, including in vitro fertilization, including contraception, including all these things. And gay rights. But by the way, not on my watch.
So the reason why I found that interesting right there, he's in mid-thought saying something. Somebody from the crowd screams out, "and gay rights." And he instantly switches to turn his attention to that person. This is not a sign of incognition. Like he's not declining here. He's able to remain focused on what he's saying and then also divert to answer something that somebody said from the crowd. And he says, "Oh, by the way, not on my watch." Listen, watch again. Listen to the background.
Interception, including all these things. And by the way, gay rights. But by the way, not on my watch. Not on my watch.
Boy, you know, Peter Baker, this has proven to be such a key issue when you look at what's happened in 22 and 23 and a lot of the special elections of that time, even in red states like Kansas, Kentucky, have gone overwhelmingly for choice on this issue. Now you add IVF that's now been thrown into the mix. You add contraceptions that have been thrown into the mix. The Biden campaign really does believe this is going to be one of the most vital issues for their base, don't they?
They do. And what you hear the president doing there is even expanding beyond the issue specifically of abortion rights to say, OK, it's just the first step on their path toward reversing a whole series of rights. Right. One of the themes that they have emphasized again and again was the idea of freedom. Freedom is a word that Republicans have used pretty successfully over the years. And the Biden campaign wants to kind of take the word back a little bit, talk about not just women's rights, but as he pointed out there, LGBTQ rights and just the rights of any married couple or a non-married couple, as you know, defined by the Supreme Court way back in the 60s, to have the ability to decide when to have contraception and not, and all those kinds of things. And I think he's...
So we're going to stop this here. The bottom line is there. Obviously, what is at stake is a lot of your freedoms, which we've seen get taken away from us because of MAGA Party. And we don't want that to continue. Keep in mind, again, that the next president or the next term is going to be given the privilege of appointing two new justices. There's two of them that we're looking forward to retiring because they're very old, and a lot of people just don't see them continuing through the next 4 years and then another 4 years after that. They're probably most likely going to retire. It's not a given, but they're most likely going to retire. If that happens, then there's going to be two more MAGA judges, two more MAGA judges. And so we cannot have that. Keep that in mind when you're going to the ballot box. But this is another another video that I want you to see about what's going on. I put this out in a shorter video, what's going on in Detroit. And I'm going to pause it right after Trump says something that I want to personally point out to you.
Step by step, you're losing it.
But Mr. President, your thoughts on the unionization that's happening down south, the interest that we're seeing in Tennessee with Volkswagen workers, it seems like it's catching on. It's not just a Detroit thing.
Well, it could be happening. I mean, it's going to be happening, but you got to be very careful about what's going to happen in 2 years from now when China wants to take all of the jobs.
When China wants to take all of the jobs. So during his presidency, we saw more jobs go to China than most. So there's that, right? But this is another scare tactic that he's trying to employ. It is what he does. He just talks about all of the most horrible things that could possibly happen, like Christmas not even coming, and also not being able to celebrate the 4th of July. Everything is wrong with the country. There's nothing good about it. He shits on our country every single day, talking about how absolutely horrible it is, despite the facts that it's not true.
Because frankly, then union or non-union, everybody's going to be hurt.
Just a little bit of some information, some fact-checking. According to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, our state, Michigan, actually gained 24,000 manufacturing jobs between January of 2021 and May of last year. That's actually tied for seventh in the country. And so this notion that the auto industry in Detroit is falling apart and that we need Mr. Trump's help may not be as on point as he would like or some of his supporters would like.
And so there is that, right? I mean, the facts are the facts. Doesn't matter what he says. It is always going to be the case that in the first 2 years, especially of Joe Biden's presidency, the country took off in a way that is set up for what is going on right now. So all of the Trump people saying whatever it is that they want to say is never going to take away from that fact. The country is far better off than it ever was with Donald Trump. But he's not going to say any of those things because he's trying to get elected. So therefore, he's lying to you. So just keep that in mind. All right. There's a couple of other things that I want to look at here. Just give me a second. Let's take a look at Joe Biden and a speech. This is for people that were interested in listening to Joe Biden speaking. In a speech so that you can hear basically his cognition in action, all right? So he speaks here for about, we're not going to watch the entire 22, 23 minutes, something like that. We'll stop it at some point here, but I just want you guys to listen to what he's speaking. This is, nobody's there talking to him, helping him, whatever. This is just him speaking.
Thank you. Please have a seat.
Now, I'm sure that there's a prompter there, which is what happens for every, even a 19-year-old would have prompter there, just so that we're clear.
Giovanni, I know from experience it takes extraordinary courage for you to stand up here and retell your son's story. Many of you who have lost someone to gun violence. It's been a passion of mine for a long, long time.
This is like 5 days ago, by the way.
Way back, a long time ago, I authored the Violence Against Women Act, which no one thought made any sense at the time. We had a lot of trouble getting people to think we could make a difference. But the fact of the matter is, I remember well when you first started it with me, this extraordinary courage. You know, through your words, you help ensure that your son and all the victims of gun violence are not forgotten. They didn't die in vain. Through your love, you help prevent the next tragedy that saves lives. And through your actions, you remember us, we'll never let go of one thing that we must never, never lose. And I mean this, I know it's hard, because I've gotten those phone calls too, saying I lost a son, a daughter, a wife.
Doesn't look like he's using prompter, by the way. I just saw him turn the page. So he's glancing at his speech and then going and then relying on memory of what's written down, because he keeps on looking around. And with prompter, you would reference us a lot right in front of you. Like he'd be looking right into the camera for prompter a lot if he was using the prompter to remind him, but he's not in this one. He's actually using a speech that's in front of him on paper.
I know what it's like. But guess what? Never give up on hope. Hope, hope, hope. I give you my word. I know what that feels, that black hole when you receive that phone call. It seems like your black hole in your chest, you're being sucked into it. Just showing up here and all the work you've done takes some courage because it reminds you of the moment you got that phone call. It reminds you, no matter how long it goes, it's hard, but you're making such a difference. The main reason I'm here is to say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. No.
So he's reacting there to a protest that erupted. And you can see that this is not throwing him off in any way. He's not scared. And he's not like, you know, cowering. He's wanting to probably have more of a confrontation with them in words by saying, hey, listen, like, what's the problem, whatever. But they scare the person off. He keeps on saying no, because he doesn't want anybody to be screaming at the person, basically causing more problems. The person called him Genocide Joe, which is, of course, ridiculous. These protesters that are against the war for some reason, they're blaming Joe Biden for a war that Israel is in and the decisions that Israel is making, decisions that Benjamin Netanyahu is doing and making, is ridiculous. He's already opposed a lot of what's going on. He's made it very clear. In fact, he wants this war to end. He's made that very clear. But there they go, inside there, trying to disrupt his speech. He doesn't do that, though. He continues.
Folks. Folks, it's okay. Look, they care. Innocent children have been lost. They make a full point. Come on now.
Thank you, Brian Dunbar.
Folks, every town and all the leaders and advocates here today, I want to thank you for the dedication to this vital issue you've shown. And all the survivors, veterans, families, moms have turned their pain and your purpose into the loss and you're determined to not focus on your anger, but on what you can do. Look, folks, you've helped power a movement that is turning this cause into reality, especially young people who demanded our nation do better to protect us all, who protested, who organized, who voted, who ran for office, and yes, who marched for their lives. From my perspective, today is about celebrating you. You're the reason I'm so optimistic about the future of our country, and I mean that. In 2 weeks, we'll mark the second anniversary of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. It's the most significant gun legislation in nearly 30 years. We passed it only because you got out and worked like hell to get it done. May have the idea, but you got it made. You made it happen. It was designed to reduce gun violence and save lives, and I'm so proud of the tremendous progress we made since then. You know, the year before I came to the presidency, the murder rate was the highest increase on record. Last year, we saw the largest decrease of murder in history.
But of course, you wouldn't know that if you listened to Donald Trump, right? What does he talk about? How horrendous our country is. And the crime is out of control, when in fact, the country's never seen such low numbers. And when Donald Trump, who incited violence on a regular basis, was one of our most violent times of our history, his presidency, he always constantly invoked violence, incited violence all the time. But our country's so much safer now under Joe Biden. But you would not know that if you listen to Donald Trump. The projection from Donald Trump is, it's amazing. All of the things that he does and has done, he tries to say that this is Joe Biden, when in fact it was him. When he was president, he was successful in inciting so much violence, it's not even funny. But there he is saying it.
The country's, look at what's going on. Walk outside your house. You can't even walk outside your house.
Stuff like this, nonsense like that, that he constantly is like throwing out there in every opportunity that he has to make our country look like crap. That's what he does.
And those rates are continuing to fall faster than ever. Last year, we also saw one of the lowest rates of all violent crime in nearly 50 years. Murder, rape, aggravated assault, robbery, all dropped sharply, along with burglary and property crime. Because this matters. So much of this progress is because, and I'm not just trying to be solicitous, but because of you. Don't underestimate what you've done. It's amazing what you've done. You changed people's minds, your neighbors, your friends, the folks down at the restaurant, the folks at the grocery store. Through the American Rescue Plan, I was able to invest $15 billion, the largest investment ever to reduce crime. And we built on that progress with your help, the through the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And here's how. First, the act's helping reduce community violence and domestic violence. It invests $250 million in violence intervention programs all across the country. People are now. My daughter's a social worker working with violence against women. What people don't realize is these things matter. They change. They change attitudes. We've already funded nearly 80 programs and counting. We also make gun trafficking and straw purchasing a federal crime for the first time, giving prosecutors a legal tool to charge traffickers and hold them accountable for the more severe penalties that are available. Additionally, the law strengthens background checks for anyone under the age of 21 trying to purchase a firearm. And it's about time. There's more we have to do there. It's a big deal. Since the law was passed and implemented, the FBI stopped more than 700 sales of firearms for individuals under the age of 21. And about 20,000 unlicensed firearms dealers are now required to become licensed to run background checks, which will keep guns out of dangerous hands. Second, the act helps stop mass shootings, provides $750 million to states to implement the crisis interventions, like red flag laws that temporarily remove firearms from those who are endangering themselves or others. It also gives $1.3 billion to thousands of schools across the country to build safer learning environments, including updating safety plans, installing security equipment, hiring mental health professionals and school resource officers.
Trump wants to get rid of the Department of Education. Now, I know you don't believe that. I don't have the tape of him saying it, but he said it in an interview with the Fox Morning people from their weekend show. He wants to get rid of the Department of Education.
I'm married to a full-time teacher. I get it. As well as violent intervention team. Folks, look. Third, the act invests over $1 billion, the largest one-time investment ever in mental health, youth mental health in our schools. Help them deal with grief and trauma resulting in gun violence. I've attended too many mass shootings. I've gone to too many schools across America and stood there and looked at the faces of those young children who were made it and look at all the families that lost somebody. It's tragic, but it needs help. They need help to get through it. It includes an additional 14,000 mental health professionals to be hired and trained in our schools to work in our schools full time. That's 14,000 more. And
14,000 mental health professionals.
And over 170,000 Americans across the country have been trained to identify when someone is having a mental health crisis, connect them to the help they need. By the way, one of the reasons I wrote the latest veterans bill was because more veterans and more active duty personnel are dying of suicide than any combat zone. It matters. And folks, this historic law is already saving lives, but there's still so much more to do to maximize the benefits of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. That's why last September, I established the first ever White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention.
See, I mean, like, I get it, guys. He's old. Like, he's just super old. But, I mean, listen to him. He knows what he's doing. We're talking about a guy that is has spent his entire life serving in government and knows every aspect of government and how to get it done all the way up to the presidency. He knows how to get things done. And then you have another guy who is a bumbling idiot.
I made it. We got first-rate professionals there and overseen by my incredible vice president. There's a pretty fierce prosecutor as well. To drive and coordinate government and nationwide effort to reduce gun violence in America, that's why we did it, to send a clear message about how important this issue is to me, to you, and to the entire country. Folks, you're changing the nation. You really are. You're changing the nation. It builds upon the dozen of executive actions my administration has taken to reduce gun violence, more than any of my predecessors, and I suspect more than all of them combined. Everything from cracking down on ghost guns, gun trafficking, so much more. Folks, we're not stopping there. It's time once again to do what I did when I was a senator. Ban assault weapons.
Which I don't understand what the big deal is with this banning assault weapons. Those are weapons of war. Why do you need a machine gun? Like, it's crazy.
Thank you. Who in God's name needs a magazine which can hold 200 shells? Nobody, that's right. I remember when I was campaigning, when I was a senator, going through the wetlands of Delaware to meet all the people who were most upset with me, the fishermen and the hunters. And I came across a guy who was fishing, and he said, "You want to take my gun?" And I looked at him, I said, "Yeah, I don't want to take your gun. You're allowed to have a gun, but I want to take away your ability to use an assault weapon." And this is how the conversation went. He said, "What do you mean I need that gun?" I said, "Guess what? If you need 12 to 100 bullets in a gun, in a magazine, you're the lousiest shot I've ever heard." I'm serious. And to his credit, he looked at me and said, "You have a good point." But think about it. They're weapons of war. And by the way, it's time we establish universal background checks.
Thing too, what's with the opposition of universal background checks?
By the way,
you want people who are crazy to get a gun?
Safe storage of firearms. We should hold families responsible if they don't provide those locks on those guns. Because three of these major crime scenes I've visited were ones where the mother or father left the stuff out on the desk, left it out on the table, and the kid came and used it. And by the way, this is most important. The only industry in America that has immunity are gun dealers. We got to end it. End it now. No, I mean it. Imagine if we gave tobacco an exception that could not be prosecuted. What would happen? We still, 1,000 more people be dying of cancer because of smoke inhalation. It's time to increase funding for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives and other law enforcement agencies as well.
There goes Kansas Mama. She says, "I'm sorry I'm missing this. I'm in line at the driver's license place getting my daughter's permit. Can't have the sound on in here and didn't bring my earbuds." No problem. It's easy. Just go ahead and rewind. When you're able to, when you get into the car, even when I'm live, you can rewind the tape and just come back and then see what's going on here. This is a great speech by Joe Biden that we're watching.
To solve the crimes faster. Look, unfortunately, it's the only partisan thing I'm going to say. The congressional Republicans oppose all of these, every one of these. Instead of trying to stop our ban on ghost gun kits that contain these, that can commit crimes, they're working like hell to stop it. They want to ballot. They want to abolish the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, which is responsible for fighting gun crime. You can't be pro-law enforcement and say you are pro-law enforcement and be pro-abolishing the AFT. You can't do it. It's outrageous.
Yep.
I disagree with some of my own party and on the other side. Well, I'm on a lot of things, but at least there's some rational argument they have as part of their argument. What in God's name is the rationale for taking away the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms? After a school shooting in Iowa that killed a student and a teacher, my predecessor was asked about it. You remember what he said. He said, have to get over it. Hell no, we don't have to get over it. We got to stop it. We got to stop it and stop it now.
So that looks like a good place for us to stop. And there's a little bit more into this that you guys can come and watch the rest of it. This is on Washington Post channel, 2.4 million subscribers. You can come and watch this entire speech there. Okay. Let's move on to another time that he was with Howard Stern. This is on the Howard Stern Show. Answering direct questions, and let's listen to how he did there.
Somebody I adore, and it is not someone doing an impression. It is the real President of the United States of America, President Joe Biden, and welcome.
I think I should leave now.
Yeah, it's a pretty good introduction. I was going to sing a fake interview with you, but you're really here. And,
good to be here.
And I played Bruce Springsteen because he did this at your inauguration.
Yep.
I figured that'd be a good way to start things off.
It is. I like him.
Yeah, no, he's terrific. And I know he's a big fan of yours, too. By the way, but as we start, I have to compliment you on something. Yesterday, you did something so great, and I don't know how many people are aware of it, but you got this thing with the airline passed, that now when an airline, for some reason, screws you up and doesn't let you, you know, whether you can't make the flight, they used to give you a credit, but now they are forced to refund you. And I think that's a huge deal.
Well, you know, there's a lot of those, Howard. You know, the fact is that when you're raised and you come up in a middle-class family, all this stuff matters to you. It matters to those little items that they say, well, it only costs this, it only costs that.
Yeah.
It matters. And so there's a lot of junk fees too. For example, banks can't $35 or drafts anymore. It only costs $3. Matter at the end is how much you left.
Yeah. Speaking of your dad, you mind if I take you back in time?
No, whatever you want to ask.
Okay, because this is thrilling for me, and I'm just really excited you're here. My nerves have to. I'm really nervous, and I've been doing this forever. I'm nervous, man. I really am. But going back to your father, was your father a political guy or your mother? Was it a political family?
No, they weren't political. They were engaged, and they voted all the time. And they look. Well, my mom and dad were. They were people who were just typical middle class people with values mattered a lot to them. I mean, was constantly banged in.
I don't know if you can tell here, but there's nothing wrong with the guy. I mean, he's totally fine. There's no bumbling around, struggling to come up with speech, listening. He's totally fine. So you can come to the Howard Stern channel and watch this. But I do want to bring you to this right here. Right here.
In our heads.
When he's asked about debating
your opponent.
Somewhere, I don't know when, I want to restore it. And that's going to be able to be done.
Can I tell you?
So here's when he's going to be asked about it. And when he's asked about it, I want you to pay attention to his answer, which is very, very, very matter of fact. I've seen this interview, but it's very matter of fact because there is no debating whether or not they're going to have a debate. There has always been, since 1988, there's always been at least two and mostly three debates between the two people. This idea that Trump was putting out there before he went on trial, and then even during the time that he was in on trial, kept on talking about he wants to debate Joe Biden, as if Joe Biden didn't want to debate him. That there's never been a time that was ever the case. And when Howard Stern asks him, he's like, yeah, sure, of course I'm going to debate him at some point whenever they get it done. Meaning, like, the people who control that stuff, like, he's got other things to worry about. He's not setting up a debate for Trump. But he says it like that just because, well, of course he's going to, of course, whenever they get it done, well, I'll be happy to. That's what he says. Watch.
Tell you a fantasy I had. If you, sure. I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't know when, but like, yeah, I'd be happy to debate him. Like, just matter of fact, just because, like, you know, well, but the way Trump was making it look like as if, yeah, like this guy would, how come he, why won't he debate me? First of all, debates have never been this early, ever. This is going to be the first time that it is this early, which is good for these times, because these times in September, early voting starts. So starting the debates in September, which is what it would have normally been, is not a good idea because people are already voting. So this is good. We're moving along with the times here. All right. So they're doing it now early, but it's going to be in June. Trump was talking about this in like April and May. Like, we should be debating. When are we going to debate? This guy doesn't want to debate me. It's not true. Never has been true. This guy already beat his ass twice to the point where he dropped out of the third debate. If you don't remember, the third debate was a town hall style meeting on ABC that the entire country got to watch, and people were there asking him questions directly to Joe Biden. It basically was a gigantic commercial for him. Why? Because Trump didn't want to debate him again. He dropped out. He wussed out. Listen, I'll let you listen to it again.
I'm going to be able to be done.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? If you, sure. I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
This is how I would handle it.
I mean, look at the guy's face. There's not a damn bit of worry in his face at all. Look at the way he says it. He's just like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, whenever, I'll be happy to, though. Look at it.
Done.
Can I tell you a fantasy?
Watch his face. Watch. If you're watching, if you're driving, don't watch it. But look at his face. He's just like, whatever. Yeah, of course, bro.
See, I had. If you, sure. I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
This is how I would handle it. Tell me if I'm nuts.
Howard Stern, the greatest interviewer of all time, by the way, he brings up a great point. This is exactly, if he did this, it would be freaking awesome. He's not going to, because he has other things that he could throw in his face over and over again. But listen to this.
Well, I am nuts, but tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump and I would repeat over and over again, excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes so that I can win the election. I would just repeat that over and over again. And then I'd say to the audience, what are we debating? A man picked up the phone and wanted to say, fake the election, give me 11,000 votes. I don't know how any American who loves this country, that's the end of the debate. You don't get to run if you're going to fix an election.
Well, look, I think I said on January 6th, when they were storming the Capitol,
and a police officer died.
Yep. And and he would say nothing. He was sitting in that office off the that dining area off the Oval Office for 3 hours and said nothing. I was supposed to make a speech on the economy that day. Instead, I made a speech from I was in Delaware on that issue because I was elected president, but I wasn't sworn in yet. The idea that we were actually not it was derelict. It was almost criminal. He did nothing. He just sat there and watched what was happening. Not a single. And now he wants to call. He calls them patriots and victims. And I mean, and says he's going to pardon them all if he's reelected.
How do some of the guys that you served in the Senate with? I'm talking about Republicans.
They don't.
How do they not? How are they going along with this?
Well, I don't think. Look. This is not your father's Republican Party.
No, it is.
This is, you know, I had a lot of Republicans, including the old segregationists that I served with, who at least you could talk to, at least on matters relating to, they were totally wrong on civil rights. But the fact is that they understood there's a need for a consensus to run this country. And I've had, and I gave my word, I'd never say their names, and I never will. In the last 3 years, I've had seven sitting Republican senators, well, two are gone now. Seven sitting Republican senators call me to tell me, Joe, I agree with you, but I just can't do it. He'll get me.
That's
so you can come to the Howard Stern Show and watch this interview in its entirety. It is a fascinating interview, of course. But you can see he just answered one of our many questions, all of us. How are these people doing this? Like, what's the problem? And he just said that seven different Republican governors called him and said, look, I agree with you, but I can't do anything because he's going to get me. Now, I don't understand that logic. Because as you know, and I know, and many of us know, Trump has just done nothing but lose. Everybody that he's backing is losing. So what do you mean? Like, he's not going to get you. In fact, you have a better shot at getting elected by saying you're not with him. Like Larry Hogan, who is a Senate contender in Maryland, a very blue state. Probably is not going to win, although the polls have him ahead right now, which is, again, I keep on talking about these polls and how they're just completely and utterly way off. Like they're just not there. I don't know what's going on with the polls this time, but they are so far off. It's not even funny. We're going to see that on election day. Maryland is not going to elect a Republican senator, but this guy, Larry Hogan, was elected as their governor. He made a name for himself. So he thinks he's going to coming out of the governorship, be a United States senator, statewide seat, right? One of two. And he's trying to get this. And he tweeted out, hey, listen, we need to respect this jury and this decision, and we have to respect the law, basically something like that. Trump's campaign manager, or a very high-ranking campaign member for Trump, then retweeted a quote retweet and said, you just ended your campaign, simply because he said we need to respect the rule of law. And because he didn't lick his boot and say that this was like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. You know, this is our country's gone to hell. Our justice system is fake and not, you know, all this nonsense, just like ripping our country apart. He didn't do that. So therefore they were like, yeah, we're not going to do this. Later on though, a couple weeks later, he was just down at the Capitol visiting. They all gave him a standing ovation ridiculously. But while he was there, he was interviewed. And he was asked, what about Larry Hogan down there in Washington? What do you think about him? And he goes, yeah, I think that he can win. I do support him. So now he supports Larry Hogan, right? But then Larry Hogan and his campaign tweeted out, once again, we want to remind everybody, this is what a real Republican does. This is what I'm trying to explain to you. Because if he accepted that, he's done for in Maryland. He's done for. If he's being backed by Trump, he's done for. This is what these people don't understand. They're shooting themselves in the foot by allowing him to run their campaign and run their lives. So, but Larry Hogan, this is like genius, this guy. This is what he got. He says, yeah, by the way, we want to remind everybody that we have never supported Donald Trump. This is what they tweeted out. We've never supported Donald Trump, not in 2016, not in 2020, and we don't still in 2024. We don't support Donald Trump. The Republican running for Senate said that. Why would he do that? Because he knows that he's going to lose if he doesn't say that. Now he has a better shot at winning Maryland. It's probably not going to happen, but it's going to make it a lot closer. But if he's like, yeah, damn right, I got Trump's endorsement, he loses. There is zero chance for him to win. So he immediately, him and his campaign immediately said, no thanks, we don't want you, bro, get away from us. That's what these people should be doing, but instead they're licking his boot, kissing his ass, giving him a standing ovation while he stands there, literally. It was like the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. And there goes
Ted Cruz. There you go. There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
There goes Lindsey Graham. I mean, a complete embarrassment. Not Larry Hogan, though. He was like, no, bro, F you, get out of here. Please do not endorse me. Do not. Please don't do that. You see the difference? Let me see what else we have here. Oh, this was the video that I showed on the video that I put out about Trump with his lies, showing his support. This is, look at the crowd. Look at all of these white people. This is a black church, right? Look at all, this is all, and this is in Detroit, right? I think there's one black person right there. That looks like a black person. I think that's a black person. Out of all these people, but look. That's what's going on. I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, but there he is, acting like he has this incredible support. He does not. All the numbers that he gives you, all the facts that he talks about when it comes to the United States are all complete and utter lies. Everything is a lie. He's throwing everything except the kitchen sink. Sometimes he even throws the kitchen sink. Sometimes he even throws the kitchen sink. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's take a look at this Lincoln Project, who, again, this is not, you don't see this happening on the Democrat side. But this is an entire organization of Republicans, mind you, Republicans against Trump. There's actually organizations named Republicans against Trump. This one is called the Lincoln Project.
What will you tell your kids? That you voted for a felon and a criminal, supported a man found guilty by a sitting jury, went into the voting booth happy to pull the lever for the only former president in history to bear the mark of criminal shame. Will you tell them that breaking the law is how they should live their lives? That lying to their families about porn stars and hush money is how they should behave? Do you want your son to treat women like a man who was found have conceptual? Your dog to be a victim of a magnum.
Going to Escalada? I'm going to be dating her in 10 years.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the.
Will you tell them that he was honest? That he was a good man?
Very fine people on both sides.
That he treated people the way you've taught them?
Like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Will you tell them you're proud of his cruelty? Happy with the ugly insults?
I mean, I'd look it right in that fat, ugly face of hers.
The attacks on women and the endless lies that the chaos, death, and danger he brought was worth it. We know it's hard to walk away and put country over party, but your kids are watching. You're not just voting for your future. You're voting for theirs.
The Lincoln Project. You will not be able to find that against Joe Biden. You won't be able to find an entire website, Democrats against Joe Biden. You're not going to be able to find a channel, Democrats against Joe, but you can find hundreds of them, Republicans against, but yet he is so popular. Right. But yet he's going to win. It's going to be a blowout. You see what I'm talking about? Are you guys following along with what it is that I'm telling you? All of the indicators are there. We know what's really going on. All you got to do is open your eyes. If not, I'm going to tell you, this is what's actually happening. This is what's actually happening. And so, you know, some of you guys might be all, you know, heartbroken over that. I don't understand it. Never will be able to understand how you could be backing this guy despite knowing all of these exact truths that I'm telling you, these objective truths. I'm not telling you things. I'm not making it up. I'm not saying this because I think it helps for my argument better. I'm telling you what is actually happening in front of your face. I'm telling you what's happening in front of your face. Okay. So let's go to the interactive map because I want to go over some things with you guys. We know that I'm gonna keep on doing this every time that I can. Okay, I'm gonna keep on doing this because I want you guys to know exactly. Once again, I don't want you guys to be caught off guard later on when he's sitting there hooting and hollering about how this was a stolen election. You're not gonna get that. He's not gonna get to have that because I'm going to make sure that you guys know. You're gonna find out now. Okay, all right. So, let me go to all of these. Okay. Do we have any more? this is something that I did again in another video, but for those of you that did not see it, that are watching me live, because a lot of you guys did not see it. This is, let's go with, the entire screen so you could see this better. This is, the results of the last election. All right. And you can see there, Joe Biden had 306 electoral votes to Trump's 232, right? And what am I doing here? What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some things. With just 5% not voting for Donald Trump. Now, why would they not vote? Like, why are they, like, what happened? Well, he got convicted. And so we know, I've given you guys this before, we know that upwards of 18%. Now, this is what you should be. You should expect this to happen. Okay, what I'm about to tell you, 18% have said that they're not going to vote for a convicted felon. And you know, Fox News, who put that out, they put out that poll. They're the ones who put that out. They were celebrating because they're like, oh my god, like they thought it was gonna, like they think that this is going to make a difference. Yeah, it's not going to make a difference. Yes, it's going to. But we're not going to go. We're not going to go 18%. We're going to go 5%, and we're going to start with Texas. We're going to start with Texas, right? So Texas, you can see, had 5,890,000 votes. 5,890,000 votes, right? And 347 minus only 5%, right? That brings his number down to 595,829. 5,595,000, right? Which means that he still wins. But look at what the difference is now. 595,000 instead of 580, or instead of 890,000, makes it a much closer election than what it was, which means I'm calling this a swing state. It's going to become a swing state very, very soon, if not this year. I see this possibly being if he wins Texas, forget about it. But because he still wins, we're going to go ahead and give him a tilt. That's a tilt right there, right? But it still goes to Donald Trump. He wins, right? Now you can see all of my yellow states here are the swing states. I don't expect for anything to happen in Ohio. I still think that that's going to remain red for some reason. That's the way these, you know, that's the way they are out there. But let's look at Florida. What happened in Florida? You have 5,668,731 minus 5% equals 5,385,104 means, what is it again? 5,385,000. Biden has 5,297,000. Look how much closer it is now. But what does that mean? It means that Trump still tilts to Florida. Not as strong as it was. And remember, Biden's not losing anything here. He didn't get convicted. But look how much closer. And am I making this up? No, I'm not making it up. That's how many people voted for Trump. This is 5,668,731. 5,668,731 minus 5%. That's how many people actually voted. And it's 5,385,294 to 5,297,000. You see how close this is getting? This is with 5%. So like I said, it tilts to him. What happens in Georgia? We already know. I don't need to do the math for you there because you can see if 5% less vote, it's going to be a massive difference. And therefore, no, it's not going to be a red state again. It's going to remain blue for Georgia. Georgia, if we wanted to do the math just so you could see, Trump gets 2,461,000. 2,461,000. $854,854 minus 5% equals 2,338,000. 2,338,000. Biden gets 2,473,000. That's over 100,000 person victory instead of 11,780, which is what it was, 779. 11,779 votes is what separated the two. This time, it's now over 100,000. And that's why it goes blue, stays blue. What happens in North Carolina? North Carolina, which everyone keeps on thinking, you know, they keep on saying, hey, you know, North Carolina is just going to stay red. No, it's not. Look at the difference in what happened here. Does that look like a big percentage to you? Let's take the 2,758. 2,758,775 minus 5% equals 2,620,000. You can see Biden remains with 2,684,000, a difference of 60,000 or so votes, which means no, it does not stay red. It goes a tilt blue. That's what happens with only 5%. You guys think I'm playing, right? All right. So we don't even have to worry about these because he already won that. 5% less means that this goes blue. 5% less means that this goes blue. 5% less means that this stays blue. By the way, these are all staying blue, not goes blue. This stays blue, stays blue, stays blue. Obviously, this stays blue, this stays blue. And look at the map. 318 to 219. A complete and utter blowout is what's going to happen in this election. If I wanted to, I could go even deeper in some of these closer states like Iowa. Indiana wasn't that close, but I can keep going if I wanted to and make this even worse. And if I go to 6%, if I say 6%, then this goes blue and this goes blue. If I go to 6%, and now look at what happens, 388 to 147 with a blue Texas and a blue Florida. If you think that this is not possible, I've got news for you. Here's what happened. 34 times guilty. And if you think that's not going to make a difference, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. So. Yo, so you guys tell me what's going on. Are you guys liking the show today? This is a jam-packed show that I had prepared for you guys, right? Thinking a lot of Kansas Mama when I was producing the show. There you go, Kansas Mama. She's not able to, but she will be watching this and leaving a comment. Don't forget to leave a comment on this video when the live is done. Come to YouTube, leave a comment, leave a like so that the video then can get pushed out to more people. If you haven't done so already, also hit the subscription button because it does help a great deal. And obviously, I want more people to get this message. If you are with me, or even if you're against me, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button so you can come in every day and listen to the, if you're against me, you can listen to all the nonsense that I'm saying, if you think that it's nonsense. But please don't forget to like and subscribe. Let's move over now and see what's going on Twitter, as we're going to spend the last few minutes seeing what's going on in this ridiculous website, although there's a lot of support for Biden on here as well. So there goes Chief MAGA extremist Elon Musk retweeting more nonsense to divide the country even more. But you could see all the white people here at the church that that Trump says, you know, look at this. You can't make this up, right? I mean, right? I mean, look at this. This is where, you know, Trump is saying he got all this black support there. By the way, that's Alex Cole, who I follow. Go ahead and offer a follow for him as well. Let's see what else is here. Here goes Republicans against Trump. How many followers do they have? Let's take a look, guys. How many followers does Republicans against Trump have? 655,000 Republicans against Trump on Twitter. How about that? See if you can find that for Biden. And you guys are telling me he's that popular? I'm telling you. I'm here to let you know what's really happening. Donald Trump says that he'll implement a religious test for immigrants if he is elected. I'll implement strong ideological screening of all immigrants. If you don't like our religion, then we don't want you in our country. My gosh, look at the way this guy speaks.
I will implement strong ideological screening of all immigrants. If you hate America, if you want to abolish Israel, if you don't like our religion, which a lot of them don't, if you sympathize with jihadists, then we don't want you in our country and you are not getting in, right? I will implement strong ideology.
Trump with his continuing with his racist rhetoric that people it resonates with people in this country a lot. Let's see what this is. What is this here?
Portland in Florida, and they say Trump will win in an 82 million landslide. Not only will Donald Trump win in an 82 million landslide, but if they try and take it from him, if they try and put Biden in. I've spoken to great people in Portland, in Florida, and they say, we're all in, we're done. We will fight, we will join the militia, and we'll fight back.
So, really?
Yeah, America's gearing up for the fight.
You see what's going on? This is what's being told to them. This is what they're planning. They're planning violence. And the reason why they're planning violence is because that's what Trump wants. You know how when Trump says, we're not going to be able to take it that much. At some point, there's going to be, you know, a point where it comes to a boiling point. This is his signals to his people. We're not going to be able to take it. I don't know if the country can take it. All that stuff is signals to his people. And listen to the way they speak.
There's going to be a showdown.
That's what I was always thinking. Like, we can't let it happen.
Storm is coming.
And they're saying this now because they know that he is actually people aren't stupid. They know that this guy is not as popular as he's making it look like. So when he loses, they want an excuse. And what they don't understand, and this is what I'm trying to get people to understand this. If those people, like that woman, if she does that, this is what's going to happen. If she carries on with that, and then we're going to wrap up the show. If she carries on with that rhetoric, she's going to get arrested and she's going to go to prison for a very long time. And do you know what Donald Trump is going to do for her, Daryl? What is he going to do for her? Kansas mama, Senor Rojo, what's going to happen if she goes and she fights for Donald Trump, who lost another election? What's going to happen? I mean, it's not like it's unheard of. Everything that he's put his hands on since 2016, he's lost. So, I mean, this whole idea that it can only happen, you know, he already got his ass handed to him in 2020 in every aspect. But this idea that there's only one way that Joe Biden can win, it's because it's rigged, which is what's in their head, despite all of the realities that are being put in front of their face here on this show and many other people. They keep on showing all these things that counter with facts, by the way, what it is that Donald Trump is saying. But yet there she goes. She's saying that she's going to be fighting and there's going to be something big that goes down. And then that guy did. Oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Did they not see what happened to all the people that did that on January 6th? There's like 1,000 of those people that are in prison right now. And the only thing that they're going to get out of it is a promise from Donald Trump that he will pardon them if he gets elected. Other than that, if he doesn't get elected, well, there's nothing I can do for you. So now what happens if he doesn't get elected? Or is he going to go and start paying for 1,000 people's lawyers to help them out, to try to get them out of prison or reduce sentences or something? Is he going to do that? Because he's a billionaire. He could afford it to be not that much money for him. It wouldn't be that much money for him. Not at all. Let's see. Let's take a look. Let's see how much it would cost Donald Trump to defend 1,000 people. And then you tell me if he's going to do this, something like this. Would he do this? Would he go? Because there's 1,000 of them. And 1,000 people, you know, let's say that it's $50,000 that they to pay for legal fees. $50 million. Do you think Donald Trump can afford that? Is he going to do that, though? After he loses and he's like, you know, you guys are patriots. You guys are patriots, man. This should not have happened to you. You guys are warriors. You were only there because you believed that it was a rigged election. You guys don't have the money to protect yourself. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to pay your legal bills. And he brings out $50 million. You guys think he can do that? You think he can do that? I don't think he can. I don't think he's a real billionaire. But if he just takes, like, you know, I don't know, 5% of one of his buildings and sells it to somebody else so that they can own it for $100 million, because, you know, it's like a, I don't know, like a $3 or $4 billion building, let's say $2 billion building. He sells off like 5%. They takes $100 million, buys $50 million worth of Bitcoin, and then takes the other $50 million and goes ahead and pays these people's legal bills. You think he's going to do that? Or is he going to just be like, well, I lost the election. Go out there, fight for me. Oh, and by the way, all of you new people that started a new fight, that are out there causing another problem, that are out there getting arrested, you're on your own also. How many people expect for that to happen when they do that? Because they're going to. He's going to lose the election, and then there's going to be an uproar with people who are going to cause violence and put families in danger. And then they're going to be doing it for Donald Trump. And what is he going to do for them? Anybody want to take a guess? Nothing. That's right. Nada. That's right. Nothing. He's not going to do anything for them. But there they are. They know. They've seen it. They know what's going to happen to them if they do that. And they also know what he's not going to do for them, which is nothing. He's not going to do anything at all to help any of them. But they're ready to stand up and fight because they believe that the election is stolen. They're already being, they're being bred for it now. They're being trained for it now. They're being brainwashed for it right now. And when they go out and do it and they end up getting arrested, then they're going to be saying, oh, this country has gone to hell in a handbasket. It's the banana republic. We don't have any freedom, freedom of speech, nonsense, blah, 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 blah. But then when that happens, come back to this tape and then listen to me say this. I told you so. I told you. I told you this was going to happen. So this is your fault. So anyway, that's it for this one, guys. Thanks for being here. Daryl Everett, Senor Rojo, Chronic Math Debater, and Kansas Mama. I'm sure you're watching it now on your way home from Motor Vehicle. I really do appreciate it. Don't forget to like and subscribe on your way out, and I'll see you guys next time.